Drunk or sober, who are we? Good question, isn't it? This is Dr. Herbert L. Varley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the thought for today. Drunk or sober, who are we? Herb, I didn't know metaphysicians took drinks or thought about drinking or were ever drunk or were ever sober or whatever. Metaphysicians are human beings, and some drink a little and some drink a lot. And some drink not. It doesn't really matter. All that it matters is, drunk or sober, who are we? Now, let's just look at the word and look beyond where we looked right now. Have you ever been drunk on happiness? Mm-hmm. Have you ever been drunk on looking at the beauty of a lovely girl or a handsome man that turned you on, just made you feel, wow, you're just inebriated with their joy and their beauty and their goodness. And you say, I just got to marry that person. That's my person, man or woman. That's my person. And so you're drunk. Now, do you want to know why you're drunk? Because theoretically, you have no idea what you're doing. Theoretically, you walk around in a daze. You walk around not knowing what you're doing, what you're thinking, what you're saying, and how you're acting. This is the story that you let people think. In truth, you know exactly what you're thinking, saying, and doing. Whether it's an alcoholic drunk, or whether it's an emotional drunk, whether it is a high of a joy drunk, you might say, it is just whatever it is that puts you into this altered state of consciousness. Now, when you're in the altered state of consciousness, when you are, so to speak, uninhibited, what do you do? What sort of person are you when you're uninhibited? When you are falling in love and you are just madly in love with a person, and are you uninhibited? Can you say, oh, you are the nicest person, I just enjoy being with you? Or are you shy and reticent about saying anything? Is that your nature, you know? And you are no longer shy and reticent when you are in love, you know? And when you are smelling beautiful flowers and the fragrance just overwhelms you and you just want to gather them all up and gather them to your heart, to your bosom, and smell them and quaff that fragrance to your heart's delight. Now, on flowers that didn't turn you on, you wouldn't do that. You would have no interest in doing that. But on flowers that turn you on, you do that. Some little children turn you on, and you're just drunk with joy and looking at them, and you say, you are the nicest little person. You are the sweetest child. You are so wonderful. And another one turns you off, and you say, bye. Get lost, little rascal. Bye. I'm really not too interested in seeing, but I fell down and hurt myself. Find your mummy. But she's not around, and I hurt. Won't you help me? Well, now, it's up to you whether you can overcome that aversion to something that bothers you, like flowers that don't smell very nice, or children that aren't acting very nice, or whatever, you know. Think about this. Drunk or sober, we're always the same person. Whether you are in an altered state of consciousness or not, you'll always know exactly what you're doing. People say that they're mentally unbalanced and they don't know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. They know very well what they're doing. They know for what purpose they're doing it too. Now, some people may be, in a psychotic state where their brain has been hurt or something, you know, and they are totally not themselves, you know, where they don't really know, then you say, well, perhaps then too they're not. But I say they are. I say no matter what state of consciousness, we always know what we're doing. As long as we are alive, we know what we're doing. For instance, you're having an operation. And they put you under with anesthesia, and you're lying there, and very still and quiet like they want you. And then the doctor says, my, isn't that a beautiful woman? She is so gorgeous, you know. If I could find beautiful women like this to operate on all day long, I would be the happiest doctor in town, you know. She is a marvelous looking lady, you know, she's beautiful. And then they say, ooh, what an ugly tumor here. What an ugly, ugly tumor. And they take it out. Look at that thing with all the yicky, yicky. And you hear, while you're under anesthesia, you hear what the doctors are saying. You hear it in a portion of your mind. You're not dead. Your brain is conscious. You may not have consciousness, but your brain is conscious. And you are aware of what's being said. And so, doc, you come out of your anesthesia, and the doctor says, well, that was an easy thing. We just popped, and it was all done. And you know better. And you say, doctor, while you were operating, you took whatever you took out of me, and you said, look at that ugly, malignant thing that's all gushy and whisky-licky. I hope we got it all. It's just, you know. And you heard me say that? You heard me? You were under anesthesia. Doctor, I may have been under anesthesia, but I was not dead, you know. And I also heard how you enjoyed seeing my beautiful body and seeing me and thinking all of your patients should be so beautiful like I am. My, you really did hear. But you see, just as we are under anesthesia and we are not immune to knowledge and wisdom and to what's going on in the world around us, so alcohol doesn't make us immune to it. What does anesthesia basically do? It puts you to sleep, but it also makes the nerve endings invalid. It makes you unable to feel pain for a period of time. The pain is still there, but you're unable to feel it. And this is the same when they give you a local anesthetic. They give you the local anesthetic and you don't feel the pain, but you think it. But the thing is, it is better to have a local anesthetic than a full, because then you won't have other things that could take place under a full anesthetic. But not that either one is right or wrong. It's just a matter that we know what's going on in our world. We know what we're thinking, what we're saying, what other people are thinking and saying in our world. We know how we're acting when we are sober or drunk. And just because we play drunk to pretend we don't take responsibility, you know, like they allow people off for drunk driving for murdering somebody, I mean for killing somebody. Well, that's murder as much as it is if they were conscious. Because for them to ever allow themselves to get to a point where they drive a car when they're drunk is totally unrighteous, you know. And they know it. And they know that there's a possibility they might hurt somebody, including themselves. And of course, probably they want to hurt themselves. That's why they're allowing this to happen. But drunk or sober, we're always accountable. Yeah. No excuse. No getting around it. Drunk or sober. We may find it charming to see people who are a little tipsy, a little drunk, but that's just a little less inhibited that they are. And they are totally aware of what they're doing. But their inhibition has made them no longer sensitive to their inhibitions that had inhibited them before, which kept them from acting in a certain way that without the inhibitions, they could act that way and not feel very silly. So think about it. Don't give yourself permission to ever not be in charge of yourself, whether you are conscious or unconscious, because you are always aware. So have a lovely day, and think that this way or that way, but have a lovely day, and know that everything goes your way when you're doing it my way. I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.